tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's June 3rd, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start the day with some EV sales news. The month of May is done, the numbers are in, and Hyundai's sales are on fire. The IONIQ 5 set another sales record in May. This is a vehicle now that's been out for 2 years. It's not the hottest, newest vehicle on the market. It's not the cheapest on the market. It doesn't get all the rebates and incentives out there that some of the other vehicles get, but it is still selling like hotcakes. Dealers can't get enough of them. Customers can't get enough of them. And I think the people that own them love them. So this is one of those vehicles that is really bucking the trend that you see in a lot of social media, especially conservative social media, where people are talking about EV sales slowing down. Not really the case. That's not how the numbers are playing out. Maybe Tesla sales are down, but EV sales just about everywhere else are up, including at Hyundai's sister company, Kia. Kia's EV sales doubled in May, hitting their highest month ever as the three-row EV9 rollout ramps up. We talked about this a little bit in one of the earlier shows last week. This is a vehicle that is right at the heart of the mainstream market. It's great to see these guys being successful. As more manufacturers come out with these three-row SUVs, they're going to be successful as well, especially if they get the design and styling right. And it's not just Hyundai and Kia that are enjoying record sales. Overseas, BYD tops their all-time sales record in May. EV price cuts boost demand. Again, this is everywhere. You're seeing EV sales take off. It's not necessarily being driven by government. It's not necessarily being driven by incentives or rebates. It's being driven by consumer demand. Even though some of Tesla's growth numbers are falling behind predictions, and of course, that early infamous 50% growth and infinite demand nonsense that Elon put out there early on, we're still seeing strong growth, not only in the US, but internationally, as more and more companies are hitting sales records. We expect to see more of the same in June. While we're talking about China, Tesla is going to start selling the new Model 3 Performance in China. This is a vehicle that has been in Europe and in the US for a couple of months now, sometimes called the Highland version. We've got a report here from our own Fred Lambert. He's talking about Tesla announced on Weibo, a Chinese social media platform, that it's moving to sell the new performance version with deliveries starting in the coming weeks. Translated from Chinese, I'm happy to announce to you that the Model 3 Performance Edition will be officially sold from pre-sale from now on, and the first batch of deliveries is expected to start mid-June. Come and try out this high-performance car. Model 3 Performance starts at about $46,000 in China. This is a great move. Tesla has really built itself a beachhead in China, just like it has everywhere, frankly, Europe and the US. But China especially is significant because it is the world's largest single auto market. You know, it's one of those, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere kind of scenarios. And Tesla has been leading the pack there for a number of years. Now, BYD is catching up. BYD's numbers, if you include the plug-in hybrid vehicles as a plug-in vehicle, we can debate that till the cows come home. But if you include those plug-in numbers, BYD has blown Tesla out of the water now for a couple of quarters. And even in pure BEV is starting to do that. So bringing their latest and greatest products to market in China is an incredibly important move for Tesla, especially as they've been taking a lot of heat lately for some of the, I don't want to say faux pas, but let's just say some of the different distractions that Elon has been going through with the $56 billion pay package, with the compensation plan, with the big vote that they're rolling out, all the layoffs on the supercharger side. This has been seen as something that has taken away from the business, or at least taken away from Elon's focus on the business. So seeing them make real moves in China with their mainstream core products to bring more attention there, to bring more of a halo there for the rest of the line, I think is incredibly important for the company, and we're glad to see it. In more Tesla news, their next full self-driving update is late, and it's a critical update. Now, we've been talking about a couple of delays here with the full self-driving. Again, this is another Fred Lambert article, but this is a little bit different because it's not 100% clear why the latest update has been delayed. And it's reportedly been in internal testing for more than 2 weeks. Well, there's a Reddit user who claims that he has version 12.4. He's got the update, and he shared a screenshot to show that the update was on the car. Now, we weren't able to confirm it, at least not at the time that I'm recording this, but it does seem like a legitimate thing. We've got the same person saying that it is basically unusable. So To give a little bit of insight into what he's talking about, FSD handled 95% of my highway and city driving on 3.6. When I say it's unusable, I mean it. After turning it on, it veers into the center of the road, straddling the dashed line in a four bidirectional road, or if it's a two bidirectional road, it straddles the middle yellow line. In one lane road, it almost drove off the road. Something is severely wrong. Then they come back and say, I have a vested interest in FSD performing as 70% of my net worth is in Tesla via equity. However, this is a massive issue. Now, again, people can say whatever they want on the internet. People can fake screenshots, but there doesn't seem to be anything super crazy here. We've seen other reports of full self-driving having issues, especially in early beta launches. And then their bugs, they get fixed. For the most part, the system works, I would say, just about as well as someone who's learning to drive. I think other people tend to inflate its capabilities. I think other people want it to do better than it does. In my personal experience, it's okay. I don't consider it dramatically better or different from Mercedes options or like some of the things from Volvo or Ford or GM Super Cruise. I think they're all about on the same level. I actually think Mercedes is a little bit nicer, but that's just me. So I think it works okay. But when someone who comes on and claims to have this kind of interest in FSD working correctly and they're unable to use it, I think that speaks to a bigger problem. Why is this person out here doing this? They're not, certainly don't seem to be looking for attention. They're not posting this all over social media. So there's some credibility here, but I'll leave that to you guys in the comments to go through and let us know what you think of that. Moving on, this is a story that I picked up last week on Friday. EV Made Easy, the electric F-150 Lightning is now $200 cheaper to lease than a gas version. That's on a monthly payment on the remaining 2023 F-150s and 2023 Ford Lightnings. This is based on research done by Alex Bernstein over at Cars Direct. Based on Ford's online payment estimator, the 2023 Ford F-150 XLT can be leased for $578 for 36 months with $5,987 due at signing. That's based on an MSRP of $53,445 for the V6 Supercrew in a 4x4 configuration and 10,500 miles a year. With an effective cost of $744 a month, we consider this an awful deal. Now, again, that's Cars Direct talking. That's not Electrek. That's not me. But I mean, like, I don't disagree with that. That seems pretty rough. Meanwhile, the 2023 Ford Lightning XLT is listed at $338 for 36 months with $6,102 at signing, or $508 per month. That's $236 per month cheaper than the gas model on a 36-month lease. That's pretty significant because that doesn't take into account additional state and local utilities. For example, I'm here in Illinois. ComEd, if you're a commercial customer, has an additional $500 to $7,500 rebate, and that's just Illinois. Other states, Texas, California, Portland, other utilities also have additional rebates and incentives for people to go electric. So this doesn't include that. This just has the federal money. So that $200 per month is actually light. And it's actually probably closer to $250 or $260 a month cheaper by the time you net in. If you consider the fuel savings the way Tesla does, it's probably almost $300 a month cheaper to go electric with an F-150 Lightning. So definitely worth taking a look at if you're in the market for a Lightning or a pickup truck of any kind. Check it out. The cheapest way to get going is probably going to be an F-150 Lightning. And finally, while we're on the topic of trucks, Einride orders 150 Peterbilt 579 EV electric semi-trucks for the U.S. fleet. I know we don't normally talk about commercial trucks, commercial vehicles on this show, but we've got 100 comments on this and counting. This is a really hot topic. People are really excited about it. When we're talking about 150 electric vehicles on the road, especially when we're talking about Class 8 semi-trucks, this is going to make a huge difference for people living and working around these vehicles. Now, I wanted to highlight this because it was the top comment so far by a reader called Bugaboo Jones, which, great username, fantastic. All the legacy truck manufacturers know how to build trucks. In this case, obviously, Peterbilt, Kenworth, they're both PACCAR brands, one of the most long-standing brands and most respected brands in the heavy equipment space. All the legacy truck manufacturers know how to build trucks, and electrifying them is not a big deal. Now it's just a matter of time until battery technology gets better and mileage distances between charges improves. Tesla has let these guys mostly catch up. They may never be as efficient as Tesla's clean sheet units, but they could be more reliable. It will be interesting in the next several years to see how it shakes out. Fortunately, there's room for everyone. Absolutely spot on comment. So I want to identify a few things in there. Tesla may have a more efficient design with its clean sheet semi, But that center driving position is going to cause a lot of problems when you start talking about over-the-road driving. The way that the trucking industry currently works, you have a lot of incentive and a lot of reasons for handing documents, for handing license and registration, for handing papers, whether you're talking about weigh bridges, whether you're talking about crossing into protected or guarded facilities like ports or military installations, where you're just trying to hand that documentation through a window to somebody else. You can't really do that from a center driving position unless you have really, really long arms. Even if the window goes down, you just can't do it. So even though they may be more efficient in terms of driving, they may not be more efficient in terms of actually operating the way that trucking companies need them to operate. The next comment I want to highlight is there is room for everyone. The heavy equipment space, the big truck space, the MD Class 6, Class 7, Class 8, this is a huge, huge market. And Tesla, Peterbilt, Volvo, they can't build EVs fast enough to satisfy the demands of these carriers, especially carriers that have strong ESG goals, that have strong environmental claims, and that have funding coming from activist investors who want to see them decarbonize. So this is a great order from Einride. My only comment on this was I was surprised that a Swedish company would not opt for a Volvo VNR Electric, especially in the US. But someone else in the comments pointed out that Einride considers itself a direct competitor to Volvo and Scania, and they're looking to build out their own autonomous trucking fleet. So that makes sense as well. And I think having a relationship with Peterbilt and PACCAR Kenworth is going to make a ton of sense for Einride as they grow on. That's it for today. That was June 3rd. Let us know what you thought of that show in the comments. And obviously, you got to let everybody know how great the new intro music was. See you tomorrow.